Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we take a look at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. The high priest rose up and all his companions, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, laid hands upon the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison, led them out, and said, "Go and take your place in the temple area and tell the people everything about this life." Look at that. The angel comes and says, "Go and take your place in the temple area. Tell the people everything about this life with God." You can tell your own story. You don't have to have degrees. Well, it's good to have the degrees, but you don't have to have them to tell people what God has done for you. One by one, you don't have to stand up in the marketplace. But do you ever tell people how good God has been to you? And I'm sure even if you're going through difficulty right now, you could recall the times God has done good for you. And that can inspire you to sustain you through a hard time or a difficult time, that God is here. People need to hear this, brothers and sisters. Imperfect and sinful though we are, we have a message by God's grace, by His mercy. He saved us from eternal death. We need the courage to talk about Him, to share about Him. Tell the people everything about this life. Think about that. The angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison and told them that. And so when they heard this, they went to the temple early in the morning and taught. Now, remember, they were in the jail, and the angel of the Lord comes and opens the doors. I'd run, wouldn't you? I'd run and hide out until things calm down. But no, they do what they're asked to do. They go right into the temple early in the morning, and they taught publicly. And when the high priest and his companions arrived, they convened the Sanhedrin, the full senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the jail to have them brought in. But the court officials who went did not find them in the prison. So they came back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, the guards stationed outside the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." Can you imagine? Can you imagine the anger, the disbelief, the incredulity, who are these stupid guards that they can't keep track of the prisoners? You can imagine what people were thinking, especially those in leadership. And when the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests heard this report, they were at a loss about them as to what this would come to. And then someone came in and reported to them, "The men whom you put in prison are in the temple area and are teaching the people." Fearless. They went right back, even though they had been arrested, even though the angel had set them free. Wouldn't you go into a hiding for a little bit? You might even say it'd be prudent to go into hiding a little bit, but no. The gospel compelled them. The good news compelled them. And so it should us. We can't conjure that up in us. We cannot put that on. That's something that comes from within us, asking God, activate the gifts in my baptism, in confirmation, in First Communion, etc., etc. Activate those gifts. May I come to know you, Lord. May I come to love you so much that I can't keep quiet. That's what we need. No matter what the outcome, even if you're in prison, preach the gospel in season and out of season. Exhort, says the scriptures, exhort, entreat, rebuke, lead people to the salvation that He wants them to have. Sometimes it's your neighbors. Sometimes it's members of your own family. Sometimes it's people at your workplace. Now don't, force and push and shove because people will reject you. But just quietly, simply sharing with one or two people what God has done for you can change. You might get mocked. You might get ridiculed. So what? So did every apostle and disciple. It's part of our lot. But if you reach souls, if people actually listen to you, you've won someone for Christ. The court officials who went did not find them in the prison, and they came back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, the guards stationed outside the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." I'm repeating this because I want you to, it must have been a startling moment for them. So the captain and the court officers went and brought them, but without force, because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. They were afraid of being stoned by the people. So now the captain, the court officers, now they're nervous. They're the ones in authority. And yet, they're so struck by these men, by the way they're acting. They're confused. They're bewildered. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. Brothers and sisters, cry out, says Scripture. Cry out full-throated and unsparingly. Cry out to God. Let him know what you're dealing with. Ask him for help. Show me the way through this difficulty. Help me. Lead me. I will listen to you. Teach me. Make yourself available to God. God doesn't force himself on you. Make yourself available to God. And if you hear nothing, then keep quiet. Might be for a day or two or a week or two. But when God knows it's the right time, he'll tell you. If he wants you to say something, he'll give it to you. Remember, you're the servant. You're not the master. Psalm 34, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. And he does. Read Psalm 34. Read it over. Because he hears the cry of the poor. In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 21, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish. Everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you have life, you can still turn around and commit yourself to Christ. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, and that's certainly true today. People preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come toward the light so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. God wants us to live in the light. God wants us to live in the light because the light brings his presence. Am I a servant of God? Do I follow him? Or as I've often said, do I have a president-vice president relationship where we confer and then we both agree on something? That's not the way it works, brothers and sisters. But if we follow him, if we believe in his word, if we seek to follow it day in and day out, it will bear incredible fruit. I want to share with you a little excerpt from, again, I've quoted her before, Anne Voskamp, who wrote the book 1,000 Gifts. That was a New York Times bestseller. And I just want to share this with you. She's dealing with her children. She homeschools her children. I think there's five or six of them. Some of them would be older now. But when she wrote this book, I think she had six children at home. And she says one of her daughters is named Shalom, which means peace. She says, Shalom had come to me sitting there at the sticky farm table, come with her heart cut out of white paper. She brought the paper heart and this roll of tape to me and asked, "Will you do it, Mama? I can't make it work." And she holds out a roll of mangled clear tape. I'm sitting there bent over her brother and his spelling words. "What are you trying to do, sweet? Tape it in half? Tape it to the wall? I just want the heart taped to me, just right here." Shalom staccatos her finger off her chest. Her brother's erasing his paper too hard, wearing a hole right through, trying to erase everything he'd gotten wrong. And Shalom points just above her own thrumming heart and says, "Just tape it right here." And why are we doing this exactly? I'm on my knees in front of her, half smiling, looking up into her face, my thumb smoothing the tape line of this exposed heart. I ask the question, even though we just talked it over that morning at breakfast about how we need to give love to others. So, of course, she's trying to put into practice her mother's half-baked words, and I'm going to have to tell her that this is bold and brilliant, making herself into a walking sign of my little breakfast lecture. Usually I'm the one cupping her face in my hands, but now she's got me here, kneeling in front of her, so she takes my face into her hands, and she bends so close I can feel her breath warm. "We need to tape hearts right to us, Mama, so we always know." And she touches my cheek, "so we always know that His love is around us everywhere." His love around us everywhere. A little child shall lead us, brothers and sisters. Even this little child. She got it. She wanted that heart taped on her so she would remember to love. You and I have the sacred heart dwelling within us. That heart of total givenness of Himself for our salvation. That heart that forgives and forgives and forgives over and over and over again. That heart always available for us. Do we carry His heart? Are we aware of His presence in every conversation, in every relationship, in every project, in every time of exercise? In every conversation, He is with us. If His heart stopped beating, we would not exist. He loves you, and He loves me. And I was very, very struck by this little excerpt that a mother explaining to a small child got it. She got it. Are we getting it? Are our hearts too cased over with anger and bitterness and envy and jealousy? We can get rid of all that, you know, so that our heart, even if small, can be open to the Lord. And whatever the Lord touches becomes very great indeed. Whatever the Lord touches becomes enormously fruitful. And I don't know about you, but wherever I am, wherever I'm going, I see the poor. I see the needy. Doesn't have to be poor clothes. Sometimes it's the heart and the mind. Brothers and sisters, open your heart to the love of God. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.